We now welcome on a very special guest, three-time Olympic gold medalist, U.S. Olympic and International Swimming Hall of Famer. It is Rowdy Gaines. Rowdy, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, man. Good to be on with you guys.
So right now in September 2020, we should be talking about all of the awesome performances we just witnessed at the Olympics. Unfortunately, we can't do that for another year because of coronavirus. And I imagine that's difficult for a lot of the athletes. How have you kind of noticed how athletes are handling this, especially mentally? Because I imagine, you know, preparing for the last 4 years or even longer than that, for this moment, the adrenaline's starting to get up there, and then you have to wait another year to do it all over again.
You are exactly right. I mean, you have to remember that there's this huge tunnel vision that the athletes really start preparing the day Rio ended 4 years ago. And it's all of a sudden like zeroing in by the time they get 6 months out. They are accounting for every single second of the day. That's how intense it gets, because we don't have a World Series or Super Bowl. We have the, you know, it's the Olympics. It's every 4 years. That's our glory. That's our pinnacle. And, you know, for that to be just completely swept away, it's a lot harder mentally than it is physically. And I certainly can empathize with them, because the same thing happened to me in a different way, obviously. When now we're talking life and death, and for me it was a matter of a career, but the same thing happened to me in 1980. So mm-hmm. I can certainly relate to them.
Yeah, and obviously we've got, hopefully, 2021 to look forward to. But coronavirus has obviously caused issues, not just at the Olympic level, but we're talking college and on down through high school and local pools, everything closed and shut down. I mean, numerous schools have already cut their programs. What, in your mind, do you see as like the biggest hurdle in our way of maybe getting back to the pools, or what should we be doing to get ourselves back in and, you know, as the summer's closing up here?
Well, on the international side, with our hopeful Olympic hopefuls anyway, you know, I think for the most part, they're back in the water. You know, when I went through the boycott of 1980, you have these natural emotions come out, the emotions of denial and anger and then grief. And then there's an acceptance, and then there's motivation. And that's sort of where everybody's at right now. You're talking about the pools opening again. And that's the key for us. Mm-hmm. I'm part of an aquatics coalition. It's, you know, it's led by USA Swimming, our governing body. And all we're trying to say, and this is mainly to the, you know, to the public officials and the policymakers, hey, we are trying to prioritize opening pools specifically for instructional purpose-driven aquatics, which basically means, you know, swim lessons, swim team, competitive sports, competitive aquatics. We're not advocating to, you know, swinging the gates open and opening up to large crowds. We're just trying to get our pools open, and we did a pretty good job in doing that in the summer. But as we move into the fall, a lot of those outdoor pools, which was easy to get into, mm-hmm. are closing. And, you know, swimming is a year round sport, and it's tougher and tougher. But you basically have athletes that are some of the best in shape, healthy people on the planet, bathed in chlorine.
Right.
And, you know, the CDC has literally specifically said COVID is not transmitted via chlorinated water. So we're just trying to educate people. That's the only thing. That's the bottom line, is they just don't know, you know. And mm-hmm. I know they're slammed, but we're just trying to try to get on their plate to say, hey, listen, guys, we know how to do this. We have a comprehensive plan that we have put together. And I say we, I'm talking about, you know, 30, 40 different water safety organizations across the country, competitive water sports, four Olympic governing bodies, et cetera, et cetera. And we know how to do it. We know how to do it right, where we will do it as safely as possible.
And I think that purpose-driven part is really the key point. I kept seeing that come up as I read more and more about this coalition, because I think one of the challenges right now has to be for a lot of, you know, high school and younger swimmers who might be at risk of falling through the cracks with, you know, in-person recruiting being limited till 2021 and not everyone having easy access to a pool. Like, is that, mm-hmm. are those kind of the people that trying to help out the most with this?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. So I'm from Orlando, Florida. And I used to work, it basically doesn't exist anymore, but I used to work for the YMCA down there in Central Florida. We had 22 Ys, and one of our biggest Ys was a 50-meter pool. We had four different pools, and every afternoon, guys, there would be 300 or 400 kids in our facility training in four different aquatic sports: swimming, water polo, synchronized swimming, and diving.
Mm-hmm.
That's all gone. That pool has still not opened. And the point is, getting back to your question, was where are those kids going? Most of those kids have nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't other pools that can accommodate that big a team. We just don't have them. And it's devastating, because the problem is a lot of those kids will be redirected to other sports. Many of them might be able to find other swim teams, but a lot are going to just go by the wayside and start to drift, and some are going to get in trouble, and it just opens up a whole can of worms. And, you know, we've always said, you know, exercise, but the CDC again says exercise reduces that risk. So for the mental and physical part combined, it is devastating. It breaks my heart to know that pools, and we're just one of thousands across the country that aren't open, that aren't giving our kids a chance to be able to get back in the water. And I'm not even talking about the economic devastation, or more importantly, mm-hmm. the drowning statistics, the learn to swim programs that are also shut down. Drowning is the number one cause of death in children four and under. It's number one. And a lot of those swim schools are not opening. And, you know, that means we are going to have more children drowning every year. There's about 1,000 that drown every year. And the biggest reason they drown is because they haven't taken swim lessons.
It's a great purpose-driven organization and coalition, like we mentioned. And obviously, I did not know that fact about drowning. And it's extremely important that we get this information out there. So we will definitely link out to the Aquatics Coalition website and any other ways that people can get involved or help out.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just getting to your local officials and, mm-hmm. You know, write letters. And I mean, listen, I get it. I mean, when you think about the mayor of Washington, D.C., for example, the D.C. has shut down their pools all year long. And I imagine that she is slammed with so many different entities coming to her saying, you have to open this, you have to open that.
Right.
And I understand that part of things. I just want to make sure she has the information before her so she can know all the facts. Because if she knew the facts, I guarantee you she would open those pools.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying, is people need to make those public policymakers aware of the facts. That's what the coalition has basically been put together to do. I mean, you're talking about Red Cross, YMCA. We have a woman on our coalition. Her name's Tara Kirk. She was an Olympian, swam in the Olympics in 2004, and now she's a virologist for Johns Hopkins, for crying out loud. She's one of the brightest people in the world on this mm-hmm. subject. And she says it's okay to go back to swimming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just some dummy that kind of represents the coalition, but there are a lot of smart people in that coalition. And so I would just say, you know, as much as possible, if you believe, or if you have a child that swims, or if you have a child that you want to get into swimming lessons, write to those people, get on the phone, call your local representatives, and go to usaswimming.org. It'll have all the information on the Aquatics Coalition. You can Google Aquatics Coalition mm-hmm. and it'll come up on the website, and it'll tell you ways to get involved.
Awesome. That's great information and absolutely a worthy cause. Changing gears a little bit. We do cover college sports extensively. I know mm-hmm. you had a phenomenal career at Auburn. Mm-hmm. I was kind of curious, in your estimation, like, obviously the ultimate goal is Olympics, world championships. How important do you see the role of competing in the NCAA in an athlete's development? Because I know I went to Indiana with Lily King, and I see, you know, what an absolute star she's become, both here and on the international level. What kind of process do you see that playing in your development, and kind of any internationally renowned swimmer?
Oh, Indiana might be the most successful program in history. I mean, Texas would have a strong.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah. But Indiana has had, I mean, obviously dating back to Doc Councilman, who's probably the greatest swim coach in history, and Mark Spitz in those days. And now currently I think Indiana has a great chance of putting at least five or six kids on the Olympic team next summer. So they have done a great job. Ray Lewis and that whole program is amazing. I'll tell you this. So USA Swimming has been number one in the world of swimming for 64 straight years. The last time we were not number one in the world was 1956. So my point is we have had tremendous success at the international level every single year, not just the Olympic year. And people ask me why. Well, one of the reasons obviously is our great club system. We have almost 4,000 clubs across the country, and everything from the grassroots and up, it's great. But another major reason is our collegiate success. No other country in the world has the college system that we do. And it's literally this breeding ground to put kids on the Olympic team. And if that starts to go away, and it's being chipped away a lot right now, obviously, then, you know, it's our country is going to suffer long term when it comes to Olympic performances. Now, you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal about cutting swimming or gymnastics or wrestling? Well, I say the fact that most swim programs, if you look at the athletes, they're the smartest athletes on campus. I think we were second or third overall next to, I think, gymnastics when it came to GPA on campuses. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, these people go, most swimmers also go on to have incredible business career, so they give back to the university. So I think it's very short-term vision when you look at cutting these types of programs, and they don't look at the long-term look of what not just swimming but a lot of those Olympic sports provide to those universities.
I think you touched on an important point too, of the fact that it's not just, you know, for everyone, it doesn't turn into an Olympic career or an international swim career, but they are there to get an education, and they get that education and then have flourishing careers in other aspects. You've obviously had a flourishing career as an announcer. We were joking around beforehand. You've been the voice of swimming basically our entire lives. So every time I think or hear of anything related to swimming, I hear your voice in the back of my head. So with that all said, there have been numerous great races that you've been able to call, but what is maybe the most exciting or memorable one that you've ever been on the call for?
Well, that's easy for me. I mean, that's an easy answer, because there's only one race that really is head and shoulder. I mean, I've called, this will be my eighth Olympic Games next summer, so I've called every single one of Michael Phelps's race, and really we are in the golden era of swimming. It's not just Michael, but, you know, obviously Katie Ledecky and Missy Franklin and soon to be Caleb Dressel, and so we have a lot of amazing athletes out there, but the 400-meter freestyle relay in the Beijing Olympic Games in 2008, no doubt about it, the greatest race in history.
I watched that clip.
I mean, you only have to Google
once
it.
A month.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All I got to do is watch that clip, man. But watch the clip and then know the backstory. I mean, the clip is one thing, but if you know the backstory of this is Jason Lezak anchoring that leg, by the way, and here's a guy that's been on two Olympic relays in the past that have both lost. Basically, a journeyman sprinter, great sprinter for the United States, but never one that was top of the world individually. He was anchoring against the guy that had the world record from France.
Right.
And the French had all week been saying how they were going to smash the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to fastest split in history. Nobody's ever been faster still 12 years later than Jason Lezak. And he never went close to that time ever again. So if you think about that race and everything that was put together behind it, it really is just, it was a magical race.
That was actually going to be my follow-up of, like, what was the most impressive part of that race? Just hoping to get the Jason Lezak talk. But, I mean, 46.06, I believe, was the split.
Yeah.
And that is just flying.
Yeah. And again, it's the 12 years. We went through the high-tech suit here. I don't know if a lot of people remember, but in 2009 especially, we wore those full body suits.
The laser
suit. And they... Yeah. And they really just And I went to the World Championships to broadcast that, and there were 42 world records broken at the World Championships in 2009,
Jeez.
Mostly in that suit.
Yeah.
And normally when you go to a Worlds or Olympics, you might get 3 to 6 world records. So it was just ridiculous. But my point in telling you that is his split is still the fastest, even through 2009. That's
right.
What makes it so memorable. So anyway, it was a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, you captured it. I think a lot of the focus in that was on Phelps, but Lizak, the bounce back story and just a superhuman performance was...
It was superhuman. And that's a good point about Phelps, because that was, I think, his third event and on his 8 gold medal tour of those games. And just think, if they had won the silver medal, 7 golds and 1 silver just doesn't have quite the same ring. It's still obviously amazing, but it doesn't have quite the same ring as 8 gold medals.
No, it does not. And yeah, like Brian said, you're the voice of Olympic swimming to us. Swimming is neither of our first sports, but I can tell you honestly, it is one of our favorite sports to watch every summer games. And you are a big part of that. It's just the storylines and the drama that come out of it every single time are just so enthralling.
Yeah, the Olympics is something special. And I really believe that we're going to have an Olympic Games next summer. And I really believe that it will be the greatest Olympic Games in my lifetime anyway. I honestly believe that. I have no knowledge of that. I have no inkling, have any idea whether it's actually going to happen or not. But I believe it will be. And I think it's the first time that the world will be able to come together, I think it's going to happen. And I think it'll be very special.
I really hope so, yeah. Because we missed it this summer. That is for sure.
I know. I did too.
Yeah, I think the extra year of waiting will make it just that much sweeter next year. Or at least that's what I'm telling myself.
That's right. We need to all tell ourselves that.
Yeah.
But Rowdy, this has been a ton of fun. We really appreciate the time. We will, like I said, we'll share some links on the Aquatics Coalition, and we are looking forward to hearing your voice again next summer at the 2021 Olympics.
I sure appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a great day, okay?